Oblation Run,
Fighting Maroons,
Isaw,
Sunken Garden,
Lantern Parade,
Uta,
Puso,
UP.
Pasok ka rito.
Tara sa kwentuhang may uta,
kwentuhang may puso.
UP atin to.
Pasok ka rito sa kwentuhang may utak, kwentuhang may puso. UP, atin to. Magandang araw mga kasali, ako po si Ryan Malandog. Sana ay nasa mabuting kalagayan kayo mga kasali.
At ako naman po si JJ Malate, ang inyong kakwentuhan tuwing alas 10 ng umaga sa UP Atin To, tuwing Lunes hanggang Biyernes. Mapapakinggan pong ating programa sa dzup.org at mapapanood tayo sa facebook.com/dzup1602am. Ang DZUP po ay miyembro ng Kapisanan ng mga Broadcaster ng Pilipinas o KBP. Magandang araw sa iyo, Ryan.
Magandang araw, JJ, at sa ating mga kasali. Magandang araw po sa inyong lahat. At maraming salamat sa patuloy na pagsali sa ating kwentuhang may utak at puso. Tuloy-tuloy lang ang inyong pagsali sa pamamagitan ng pagkomento ng inyong katanungan, opinion, suggestion sa ating comment section ng ating Facebook Live. At bagong paksa muli, JJ, ang ating pag-uusapan, ating ipinagpapatuloy ang serye ng ating kwentuhan tungkol sa Philippine Press at Press Freedom bilang pakikiisa sa pagdiriwang ng National Press Week sa ikalawang linggo ng Pebrero. Ayon sa mga pag-aaral, ang mga kababaihan sa media ay naharap sa parehong mga paghirap at pagbabanta gaya ng mga kalalakihan. Bukod dito, nakararanas din sila ng gender inequalities, mga issue ng kaligtasan at maging kulang sa representasyon dahil sa pinasok na trabaho sa pamamahayag. Sa Pilipinas, sa kabila ng dumaraming pag-atake laban sa mga babaeng mamamahayag, maraming mga babaeng mamamahayag na Pilipino ang nagpapatuloy sa larangang ito upang mapalaganap ng tamang impormasyon at manguna sa pagpuksa ng iba't ibang uri ng impormasyon na kumikitil sa katotohanan. Alamin natin ang ilan sa mga kwentong pinagbidahan ng mga kababaihang Pilipinong peryodista sa kanilang pagharap sa isa sa pinakamahirap at pinakamapanganib na trabaho sa bansa, ang pagprotekta sa malayang pamamahayag. Makisali sa ating kwentuhan ngayong araw na pinamagatang babae at balita, The PH Press and Women Journalists.
Tama, Ryan, magiging bida ang bagay sa kwento natin ngayong umaga. Ang balita, ang press freedom sa Pilipinas at syempre ang mga kababaihan. Makakasama po natin sa ating kwentuhan sa bagong episodyo ngayong araw ng ating programa si Professor Maria Diosa Labiste ng Department of Journalism ng College of Mass Communication mula sa University of the Philippines, Manila. Ang kanyang doctorate degree po ay nakasentro sa media culture and society mula sa University of Birmingham ng United Kingdom. Sa College of Mass Communication mula University of the Philippines, Diliman po galing si Professor Labiste. Siya rin po ay writer-editor ng Women Writing Women, isang independent news site for feminist writers. Welcome to the program po, Professor Labiste. Isang mapagpalayang araw po sa inyo.
Magandang umaga po sa inyong lahat. Magandang umaga, JJ and Ryan. It's nice to be here. Kasali ako sa programa. It's my first time to be interviewed really by DCUP. And kaya kinakabahan ako ngayon. But I'll try my best to answer the questions na ibigay niyo sa akin. At sana ay makapag-ambag din ako sa diskusyon ngayong umaga.
Ayan, maraming salamat po Professor Diosa sa pagbibigay oras sa ating programa. And we are very excited to talk to you about press and women journalists. Siguro po simulan po natin ang ating kwentuhan sa pagpapaliwanag ng ilan sa mga highlight ng kasaysayan pagdating sa usapin ng women in journalism. Kailan nagsimula ang pasukin ng mga kababaihan ang larangan ng pamamahayag?
Ito, yung history ng women in journalism, eh, hindi pa nasulat talaga na definitive. In other words, may mga stories pero hindi pa nabuo. Ano ba talaga yung kasaysayan ng periodismo sa punto de vista ng mga women journalists? But I could say this, na yung pakikibaka ng kababaihan ay nagbunga din ng positive effect sa journalismo, sa periodismo. In other words, the struggle of women for equal rights, ito yung mga suffragists noon, at some of them are also writers in newspapers, magazines, and periodicals noong turn of the century, sa panahon ng pananakop ng Amerikano, ay nagbunga din ang pag-assert ng mga babae sa kanilang karapatan sa pagsusulat. Kasi for the longest time, kala ng mga tao at kala din ng mga periodismo, male-dominated yung journalism. Sa kasaysayan at sa practice at sa paniniwala, hindi yun totoo. Kasi mayroon kaming mga nakukuha na narratives ngayon at historical data na yung mga babae sumasali na sa mga dyaryo even during the Spanish period. Kaso lang, nakikita nila yung babae, kinukonfine nila or pinapasulat lang ng mga susulatin, akala nila ay women-oriented, gaya ng homemaking, gaya ng travel, gaya ng poetry. In other words, nakakahon sila sa mga topics na akala nila ay pang babae, which is not true, kasi yung mga babae naman, makakapagsulat din ng opinion, makapagsulat din ng mga balita on politics and economics and other heavy or serious topics. Kasi, sabi ko nga, yung pakikibaka sa kababaihan, naka-create din siya ng positive effects sa journalism. Kasi more and more women were entering the profession as the women's struggle also becoming successful or were actually clocking gains. In other words, yung presence or yung pagsali ng kababaihan sa periodismo or sa journalism ay bunga din ng edukasyon, pakikibaka ng kababaihan, at kasanayan or kahusayan din ng mga babae sa pagsusulat. And all of this contributed to yung historical gains ng kababaihan sa periodismo, at the same time also yung presence ng mga kababaihan sa dyaryo, sa magazines, and also broadcast, eventually in television, nagka-contribute din sa pagsulong ng pakikibaka ng kababaihan, that they're actually demonstrating that women could be in male-dominated professions and also do well. So, eventually, in the 60s and 70s, more and more women were joining the field of media and journalism, at magagaling din sila. And then, of course, eventually in the 80s, parang hindi na pwedeng sabihin na male-dominated yung journalism as a profession. Kasi madami na yung mga babae na nagkakuha na sabihin na like covering the president, like military and defense beat na would take you to warfront, doing warfront stories or war zones. Marami na nagsusulat on politics. Many women are now columnists. And they are also doing serious topics na before binibigay lang sa mga kalalakihan. In other words, it's one of the professions na democratic na. Dahil sa struggle ng mga babae na journalists to be in the forefront of the profession, and also because we have trained in for example, in UP Mascom, more and more women journalists. In fact, yung population ng student journalists natin or the students entering the journalism program, mas madami yung mga babae kaysa lalaki.
Mm-hmm.
So, hindi naman siyang nagiging ghetto jobs, but I think part yung pag-assert ng babae ng kakayahan nila as journalists. I hope I answer your questions.
Nako, napakaganda ng kwento, Professor Diosa, no? Yung pagtindig mismo ng kababaihan sa kabila ng pagkakahon sa mga kababaihan pagdating sa sektor ng ano ng pamamahayag, no? Nandoon yung pagtindig at pagpapakita ng kagalingan ng kababaihan kung ano yung natatamasa nila ngayon ay yung pwesto na meron sila. At nakita din natin yung interest ng mga kababaihan ngayon na mga student journalists, di ba, JJ? At siguro tunguhin po natin, Professor Diosa, no? Maari po ba kayo magpangalan? Sino-sino po yung mga Filipino women journalists sa bansa na nagpakita ng husay at galing in upholding the press freedom in the country?
Okay, siguro yung recent history lang, during the Marcos time, ito yung panahon ng diktadurya ng President Ferdinand Marcos, yung tatay ngayon ni President Marcos Jr., ito na yung time of repression, ito na yung time of censorship, ito na yung time na yung mga karapatang pangtao ay nilalabag. And one of the first things that the Marcos dictatorship or yung ginawa ng President ng Presidente Marcos noon is the shutdown of newspapers. And many of the women journalists at the time were out of job. Pangalawa is censorship. Ito yung sa panahon ng diktadurya, kontrolado niya lahat ng mga dyaryo. Kasi yung nakapublish na yung mga crony press or yung mga newspapers na pinapatakbo ng mga associates niya or cronies niya. And then, yung mga dyaryo nito, mayroon mga women journalists. Many of them are writers, columnists, and editors. Nahirapan sila. So, pero ang tapang nila, they, in the newspapers of the cronies of Marcos, meaning Bulletin, Journal, and Daily Express, ito yung tatlong dyaryo na hinahawakan ng mga cronies ni Marcos, nakapagsulat sila ng mga articles on human rights. Nakriticize nila yung government ni Ferdinand Marcos Sr. At saka, in-expose nila yung corruption. And they actually form a group which we now know as Alternative Press, and also known as Mosquito Press, and also known as yung women during martial law, na women journalists and martial law were so brave that they were actually recipients of libel case. Pinatawag sila ng mga generals at pina-explain bakit sila nagsusulat ng ganyan. Many of them were heavily censored. Many of them were threatened by cases and even their lives. But they continued. So ito yung sinabi natin si Arlen Babs, Melinda Quintus de Jesus, Ceres Doyo, sino pa ba yung dating editor ng Philippine Daily Inquirer, Leti Jimenez Magsanok, and Joanne Maglipon. These are some of the women. I forgot many of their names, but some of their names, I mean. But ito yung matatapang sila, nakibaka sila against the Marcos dictatorship through their pens, through their journalism. And they were brave enough to assert their right to us, the right to journalists, and also press freedom. They have pushed the limits of censorship and by asserting the rights of journalists. In other words, they dare to write stories that were suppressed and were censored, and they paid a price for it through harassment, through the court cases that they faced, and some of them were also put to jail. And yet, matapang sila. And I think this is a tradition that they have set. Eventually, post-Marcos, meron ng group of investigative journalists which were led by Sheila Coronel under the Philippine Center for Investigative Journalism. And they are also a group of journalists that exposed the corruption of the ERAP Estrada or the administration of President Joseph Estrada that eventually led to its downfall. In other words, in certain crisis, historical crisis in the Philippines, may mga babaeng journalists na titindig. and risking their lives. I'm not saying that men journalists were not doing the same. It's just that they are a distinct group that they have to be recognized, and they because of course they bond themselves together, and they are also known because of the genres, because of the forms that they use to critique this corrupt and abusive administrations, and that is also something that we have to remember, and then creates a legacy of resistance, legacy of pushing the limits of press freedom. And if we think of journalism today as one of the freest profession, despite the attempts of the government to censor it, it's because of the contribution of these women journalists. So I think kasama yun sa pagsusulat na history of women journalism in the Philippines that we have to be writing about.
Mm-hmm. Nako, very inspiring po, Professor Diosa, no, na marinig yung mga kwento ng ating mga women ng mga krisis na naranasan sa ating kasaysayan ay tumitindig sila sa kabila ng mga hamon at delikadong sitwasyon. At nakakatuwa, JJ, na patuloy na lumalaban ang mga kababaihan na itaguyod yung malayang pamamahayag mula panahon ng diktadura hanggang sa kasalukuyan.
Tama, Ryan. And base sa kwento ni Professor, noon pa man din ay talagang nagpakita na ng courage and braveness ang mga kababaihan sa larangan ng pamamahayag. And isa sa mga nakuha ko kay Professor kanina na journalism profession is democratic na talaga, di ba? Siguro ang susunod po namin na katanungan, Professor, is ano po ang papel at gampanin ng mga kababaihan sa malayang pamamahayag?
Okay. Maraming sabihin natin, yung roles kasi ng journalist is really oriented towards sharing of information, pagbibigay ng mga balita, pahayag, at impormasyon na sa ikakabubuti ng maraming. Sabi nga ng UNESCO, journalism is a public good. In other words, it's one of those professions na pangkalahatan yung kanyang effect and impact niya. And when you share information, hindi yan nababawasan. Information is something which is being passed on. Hindi yon gaya ng commodities na pag kinain mo, kinonsume mo, mawawala. Yung information kasi, it's something that you share. And even if maraming tao ang nakaka-rinig doon or nakakabasa, hindi siya, yung kanyang impact or kanyang sabi natin value as a public good is remains. In other words, that's why journalism has to be a responsible profession. Kasi answerable ka or you're accountable to the larger public. Kasi kahit nagpapasahod sa'yo ay DCUP or ABS-CBN or GMA, that's just one of the responsibilities that you have, accountability that you have to contend with. Kasi may bigger accountability ka sa publiko, sa public. And the larger accountability would demand that you have to be responsible. You have to be accurate. You don't bring out information na nakakalito na at sabi natin fake news or nakakadala ng harm or deception sa mga tao. In other words, the roles that you perform is something which is sabi natin out there and that would allow you to be responsible to a larger public. I mean, it's the role that you perform is for the larger public, and that means that, or that would demand a greater responsibility on your part. Kasi some professions, hindi naman ganun yung demand, right? Your responsibility could just be to your employer, but associative lang yun or secondary yung public na responsibility. But in in the media kasi you directly address the public. And whatever you say, whatever you do is being put in the sabi natin, you are being put in the public eye. In other words, tama ba sinabi ko na this would mean that the roles that you perform would allow you to have an impact on the lives of many people. And in this times, and that's also good because you have this huge responsibility, but at the same time, you're also vulnerable to attacks. Kasi people think that kasi nasa public eye ka na, they also have this idea na, well, dapat pwede ka rin batikusin, pwede ka rin punahin, at pwede ka rin i-atakihin. Well, it's true that journalism is a profession which is accountable to the public, mayroon namang dimension ng danger yun. Kasi people do not always welcome criticism, do not always welcome journalists pointing out wrongdoings, like investigative journalism. Kasi, of course, they have interest to protect. And that makes the journalism profession dangerous in some ways because of the presence of groups in society that do not welcome press freedom or do not appreciate the responsibility of journalists to enlighten the public. Sa kanila kasi, information is something that that has to be controlled, that has to be kept under the public eyes, or sinabihin natin na they want to manipulate information for their own public interest, and that makes journalism also as a profession subject to all these harms and in the course of exposing wrongdoings. Kasi you know that the media is there as part of the public sphere, which monitors the exercise of power. In other words, binabantayan yung how public officials behave or exercise their authority in the public. And that would make them also critical to those oldest rulings of these politicians or those people who have authority elected by the people. So ito yung, I think, what we're not saying that you, as women journalists, a vulnerable talaga, sabi natin na, no, what I'm saying is that yung mga lalaking journalists ay hindi sila vulnerable. Both men and women in the media are also vulnerable to attacks and harm and threats. It's just that as women journalists, minsan kasi tina-target nila ang babae and use what we call gender-based violence na attacks. In other words, inatake ka not only because you're a journalist, but because you're a woman. And there's a dimension to that particular attack kasi inatake yung personality mo yung person mo as a woman. So what do they do? The gender-based violence these are the forms of attacks against women just because they're women. So it could be sexual harassment. It could also be discrimination on the basis of or prejudice, extreme prejudice on the basis of your gender. It could also be threats of sexual attacks or violence. And it could also be the use of harsh words just because you're a woman. And all of these are now transposed online. So in other words, dati kasi gender-based violence, nagiging online gender-based violence na. Kasi all of these attacks are now facilitated by social media and online technologies. And the women are easily reached because of course they are online, women journalists are online, and they are also engaging in social media as part of their work. And that would make what that would mean that they are more vulnerable because of the nature of their use of technology, because of the nature of the job, and of course their frequent use of online technology.
Ayan, gusto ko po yung sinabi ni Professor na ang gampanin ng mga kababaihan sa journalism ay hindi naiiba sa gampanin kung ano talaga ang journalism, kung ano talaga ang role at gampanin ng journalism sa ating lipunan. And that's to promote a press that is free, militant, and fearless in upholding people's rights. And you have to be, tama po yung sinabi niyo kanina na you have to be responsible, you have to be accurate, and dapat maiwasan yung mga uri ng impormasyon na hindi detail sa katotohanan, and that your role is or should perform will allow you to have impact in the lives of the people. Siguro, nabanggit niyo na rin po kanina, Professor, yung ilan sa mga gender-based at work-related attacks na na-experience ng mga kababaihan sa larangan ng pamamahayag. Siguro i-follow up lang po namin ito ni Ryan. Ano po ang inyong komento sa women journalists are underrepresented in investigative journalism, crime and war journalism?
Palagi ko hindi na. Maybe that was the situation in 20 years ago when sinabi natin na people would think that journalism or media was a male-dominated profession. But increasingly now, women are in all beats, in all areas of media work. They're editors or producers. They are leaders in the industry. They're reporters as much as writers and columnists. So I think, sabi ko nga, na-democratize na yung field. And in the workplaces, I think there's already a recognition that women journalists or women media practitioners could do the same work as the male or the men media practitioners, with some physical limitations, of course. But in terms of capacity, in terms of aptitude, or I think yung kakayahan as journalists and sabi natin, being savvy in technology, nalampasan na yun. So if you look at survey the media, women are also in higher positions, and they are also in the rank and file, and there's a recognition na magagaling sila. So siguro yung condition na yun in the 80s, the early 90s, but no longer these days. I hope so, kasi I haven't really done a survey, but I've seen a lot. In, for example, if we yung basis lang ay the number of journalists that we produce every year dun sa journalism department or sa broadcast department, madami-dami din yung mga babae. And it's not just in news media, but also in media arts. And they are also writers of teleserye. They're also directors of movies and indie films. They're also script writers and producers. And they're also industry leaders in advertising. So in other words, media work is enriched by the presence of the other half of the population. Kasi, di ba, women is 50% of the country's population. It's understandable and it's logical that nasa media, si madami sila sa media.
Ayun, maganda pong isipin, Professor Labiste, na nagiging inclusive na tayo lalo na ang modernong panahon tungkol sa usaping ito, and na nawawala na yung tabu na idea na ang journalism ay para lamang sa mga kalalakihan. At sana ito ay magpatuloy, dahil katulad ng mga nabanggit ni Professor Labiste Ryan kanina, maraming mga kababaihan sa media ang nag-i-excel talaga, di ba? Meron tayong mga kababaihan din talaga na kilala na nag-i-excel sa investigative journalism in this time. And aside sa news and public affairs, meron din, di ba, sa mga pelikulas bilang directors at iba pa.
Okay, so siguro konting kalinaw lang. When I say women, kasi yung definition ng women actually ngayon ay napaka-expansive na. So women, I say women, pwede din trans women. In other words, as long as you identify yourself as a woman, regardless kung ano yung gender you're born with, I think, which means that we also have to push for the rights of LGBTQ plus. And when we say women, we have to expand the definition to include the trans women to make the whole industry exclusive, which is really true kasi may presence na din yung trans women sa profession or LGBTQ plus. And in other words, yung gender issues doon dapat i-assert din within the media, not just yung cisgender, yung women born the way that identify themselves as women, but also media practitioners who are transitioning to another gender and have chosen to be trans women. So, dapat kasama din siya sa conversation at pag-assert ng karapatan.
Nako, napakagandang clarification po yan, Professor Diosa, no, na trans women are women at sa usapin ng media, journalism, kasama sila pagdating sa mga kababaihan. No, siguro po tunguhin po natin sa perspektiba naman po bilang profesor. At sa ano po yung inyong obserbasyon kanina ko inikwento niyo po na dominante yung mga kababaihang estudyante sa journalism. I understand po araw ng enrollment at busy po kayo na pagbigyan lang po tayo mga kasali ng ating professor, no. Siguro po yung tanong po natin, mayroon po bang mga unique skills and abilities yung mga babaeng periodista at journalism students na hindi makita sa ibang kasarian?
That's being essentialist kasi it's, when you're a feminist, you don't really say that you do this because you are a woman kasi dapat you have to look at it in the issues of rights. Wala naman actually. Mm-hmm. The skills of journalism could be taught to anyone regardless of gender, regardless of sexual preferences. In other words, wala namang sinabi na exclusive siya just because you're a woman or mahilig ka or mas masinop ka. There's nothing of that sort. Kasi napakalaki naman yung field ng practice ng media, ng news media. At maraming mga jobs and roles that you can perform not because of your gender but because of your capacity. Yung problema lang, kung i-assign ka doon, because na kinahon ka na or because you're being backed due to your gender, that's the problem. Kasi sabi mo, oh, kasi babae siya, dito lang siya. And that's where discrimination is or that's where sexism comes into play. Kasi wala naman talagang social roles are something that you have learned but does not in any way prevent you from saying or from performing any roles that you want. Kalimbawa, kung lalaki ka, gusto mo yung travel and cooking na beat, na sabihin mo, gusto ko yan kasi doon ako magaling. At sabihin, hindi iasa natin sa babae yan kasi pang babae yan. And that's where the problem lies, I think. So in other words, as I said, the field is so wide and anyone can perform, can find his or her way around it and excel. And the question of excellence is, I think, beyond gender. The problem there is when you prevent someone to excel just because of his or her gender, yun na yung discrimination. Yun na yung sexism in the profession. And that's not a thing that we should encourage. You should encourage it. It's something that we should discourage in media practice. So in other words, let everyone in the media or let everyone in news media or in the profession perform or do the things he or she wants to do and excel in it. And gender should not be a barrier. It should not be a factor to prevent you from doing something which you could excel or you can excel as a practitioner. Yun ang yung siguro masabi ko. It's unthinkable that this is the 21st century ay meron pang dikahon, di ba? It's something that we shouldn't be encouraging in newsroom or in any workplace for that matter.
Ayan, Ryan, napakagandang pinag-uusapan natin ang legasiya, ang history, and at the same time, ang gampanin ng mga kababaihan, ang malaking kontribusyon ng mga kababaihan sa Philippine media, sa pamamahayag. And katulad nga ng nabanggit ni Professor Labiste kanina, ang nagiging inclusive na tayo, hindi lamang mga babae, di ba? Maging mga trans women ay nag-i-excel din talaga sa larangan ng journalism ng pamamahayag sa ating bansa. Siguro dahil napakabilis po, Professor, ng ating oras, hindi po natin namalayan ang ating, dahil napakaganda ng ating pinagkikwentuhan. Tatawid po kami sa susunod naming segment ni Ryan dahil nais rin po naming malaman at pag-usapan ito pong organisasyon na Women Writing Women. Maari po ba nating bigyan ng ating mga tagapakinig ng short history, objective, and mga proyekto, mga programa po ng organization na ito, Professor?
Okay, so if you click womenwritingwomen.com, it's actually an independent news site. It's a blog site. It's a website where yung mga sinusulat ng mga kababaihan ay nakalathala. It's it was formed by apat kami nito, mga women journalists dati na kanya-kanya na kaming profession, but we still want to write. So we set up this website at saka nagsusulat kami at saka in-encourage namin yung mga young writers, mga journalists at mga writers na magsusulat. So we have contributors as young as 15 years old to may mga senior contributors talaga kami. Some of them are retired journalists but still want to write. So ano ba yung gusto namin mangyari? We are actually feminist writers. So naniniwala kami na yung mga oppression, may mga, although the women now are in better position to assert their rights, meron pa rin mga discrimination, meron pa rin issue ng kababaihan na hindi minsan nabibigyan ng halaga. And during the pandemic, we came up with a book called COVID-19 Journal. So kinumpile namin lahat ng mga sinusulat ng mga kababaihan sa panahon ng hard lockdown ng pandemic. And we published a book through Gantala Press. It's a feminist publishing actually house. So they published works of women writers, yung Gantala Press. Ang nangyari nung sa book namin ay, sa website kasi namin, may maraming mga stories ng lockdown. Kinumpile namin and then we realized that isa sa mga vulnerable sectors ng pandemic ang mga kababaihan. Kasi yung burden, ng multiple burden, nasa bahay yung mga tao at saka lahat ng gawain sa bahay sila, naghahanap pa sila ng mga makain kasi walang trabaho yung mga asawa nila. Some of them, mga construction workers, mga nagtitinda, or mga karpintero, or mga magsasaka na during the hard lockdown, hindi pinayagan sila na maglumabas at maghanap ng trabaho. So yung burden na magpakain, konti lang yung ayuda, at saka yung health nila na issues, ay nandun. So sinusulat namin, kinekwento, mayroong mga babae din na ya, hindi sila nakapag, mahirap yung transportation, so nag-bike sila. Kailangan nila kasi bumili ng supply, so they thought of biking, which is safer than taking the public transport. Meron din mga OFW na ano ba nangyari sa kanila noong lockdown, kinikwento din nila. Ang isang sinulat ko ay yung mga babaeng detainee, yung nakakulong sa jail, sila ay nahirapan, siyempre double lockdown sila, lockdown within a lockdown, na lockdown na nga sila sa jail, na kulong sila, nakulong para sila during the pandemic, so lockdown in a lockdown, so double imprisonment, so-called. Anong kinawa nila? Gumawa sila ng mask. Kaso lang, yung mask ay hindi ordinaryong mask lang. Binordahan nila ng vagina mask. Yung is actually a protest and also a form of expression na sinasabi nila na babae kami, may mga pangangailangan kami, hindi ina-address at saka nahirapan kami sa aming kondisyon bilang mga babae na detainees, nakakulong sa jails. There are also dalawang writers namin na young writers kasi during the lockdown, yung mga 60-year-old plus citizens or mga senior citizens, saka mga below 18, sila yung nakakulong sa bahay. And these are the groups na vulnerable kasi yung mga bata kasi, high school and elementary, gusto nilang lumabas, gusto nilang maglaro, hindi sila pinapayagan. So some of the stories, two of our stories are on that. How do young people, or how did young people like them cope with the lockdowns, the hard lockdowns during the pandemic? So all of these stories are stories of women, are genuine stories of women that we feel need to be written about and shared. Parang sabihin natin, pag natapos itong pandemic, may alaala tayo para sa mga kwento ng kababaihan. Ano nangyari sa kanila sa panahon ng lockdown? Some of them are also stories of women journalists na kinikwento nila. Ano nangyari nung nag-lockdown? Isa ay nasa abroad na nagsusulat siya sa ilang dyaryo sa London. So these are stories of women during the lockdown that long after the tapos na itong pandemic, maganda siyang balikan kasi sinabi na okay lang tayo nangyari, galing-galing ng gobyerno natin, hindi totoo yun. Maraming mga issues ng kababaihan, some of them like gender violence in domestic spaces ang hindi na-address. So, nung mga ayuda na binigyan na sila ng isang tasang munggo at dalawang kilong bigas o dalawang lata ng sardinas, pakasyahin mo sa dalawang linggo, paano ka mag-survive? These are the stories that we would like to share to many audiences about yung experiences ng mga kababaihan. Ano pa ba? Yung women writing women, I said, ito yung space na mga we are open for anyone to contribute. Pwede sila magpadala ng balita, kwento, pieces on women, their experiences, written from their own point of view, or they can ask us journalists or writers, the women writing women, to susulatin yung story nila. So we're planning to do probably a sequel kasi nung hard lockdown and afterwards, nung medyo lumuwag na, andun pa rin yung pandemya. And marami pa rin babae hindi nakabalik at hindi pa rin naka fully recovered. Some of their family members died, so the women have to deal with the burden of raising the kids na naiwan ng namatay yung mga asawa nila. And the stories continue, and as long as there are stories of women like this, yung Women Writing Women as a independent news site is open to tell them and to share such kinds of stories.
Tama po. Maganda pong balikan ang mga iba't ibang klase ng storyang ito, Professor. And sa ating mga tagapakinig, sa mga nakasubaybay sa atin ngayon, maaaring niyo pong bisitahin ang Women Writing Women na website para balikan ang mga istoryang ito. And kanina nabanggit ni Professor Lavista Ryan na they're encouraging young women na mag-contribute. Paano po ba ang proseso nito, Professor, if ever na nakikinig sa atin ngayon na interested po mag-submit ng kanilang piece sa inyong organization?
Nasa Facebook kami, Women Writing Women. Nasa Facebook kami. Contact nyo lang kami sa Facebook and then we'll send us a message and we will guide you as editors, as writers, to how to go about with your contribution. sabi ko nga, what we have at the end of it all are stories, yung mga kwento. And they endure kasi many people will like to listen to stories and also like to read stories about other people's lives. So, mahalaga siya na memory, mahalaga din siya na critique sa panahon ng pandemya. So it does not just describe what happened, but also critique the conditions that push women to suffer during the pandemic. So responsibilidad din ng mga writers, for example, or journalists to retrieve those kinds of stories. Kasi government would have glowing picture na lampasan namin yung pandemic despite the massive corruption, despite the massive incompetence, and this even the number of deaths which could have been prevented. Pero yung mga babae kasi may kwento sila na dapat na pakinggan kasi these are the stories that critique and also give as an idea, ano ba talaga nangyayari? Ano ba talaga yung experience nila or yung karanasan nila nung panahon ng pandemya. So these are, you know, as journalists, as our media practitioners, we live our lives in story forms. Madali ka, di ba, pag media practitioners ka, kung may magandang kwento, excited ka kasi gusto mo siyang sulatin o gusto mo siyang i-share. And that, I think, at the end of it all, these are the stories that make up the, you know, the thread of our lives as media practitioners. We are also as interested as they are in their stories. Kasi happy tayo na may makwento tayo na rinig. At happy din tayo na ipamahagi kasi these are the stories that are human at the same time speak of a larger social or political context. In other words, kung naghihirap ang babae, not because tamad siya or talagang destiny niya yun or kapalaran niya, it's because there are structures in society which allow or which created the conditions for women to suffer during the pandemic. So yung bigger stories are structures that oppress women, but the smaller stories are the women who fought back or tried to overcome the sufferings and conditions. So ganun lang, the small stories are connected to the larger stories, and they could also be happy stories because women also try to find a way out to help themselves, their communities, and their families. Meron gumawa ng mga achara, meron gumawa ng mga pickles kasi sabi nila yung immune systems daw nila ay natutulungan pag gumagawa sila ng mga ganung kwento, yung mga kimchi, yung mga achara, yung mga pickled na gulay. Meron din na nagbibenta siya ng mga kakanin kasi hindi na siya makapaglabas sa subdivision yung mga kapitbahay niya. And all of these are stories that speak about women doing something to improve their lives and their communities. And they're also inspiring. Kahit na medyo sad, medyo malungkot, at in a way, hindi naman in their own making yung kanilang suffering. Pero lumalaban sila, and as I said, these are inspiring stories that we should be sharing.
Very inspiring and empowering po talaga yung platformang binibigay po natin sa ating mga kababaihan. Siguro po dahil patapos ng ating programa, ang sarap po pakinggan ng mga kwento ng ating mga kababaihan, Professor Diosa, no, sa ating mga kasali. Bisitahin lang ang Women Writing Women. Siguro po bilang panghuli na lang po, ano po ang ating mensahe sa pagdiriwang ng National Press Week ngayong taon, lalong-lalo na sa ating mga kababaihan na journalists, mga estudyante at guro ng journalism?
Okay, so women journalists go through a period of asserting their rights as writers and training themselves to be good journalists, but they also should be conscious that there's also another dimension that they have to deal with. These are the asserting their rights as women journalists. sometimes kasi the profession, sinabi ko na, napaka-democratic na, akala natin ay wala nang problema yung mga babaeng journalists. But as I said, the phenomenon of gender-based violence, ito yung bullying, stalking, misogyny attacks online, at saka yung revenge porn, at saka kung ano-ano pang cyber na attacks against women journalists have also rendered them vulnerable. At saka kailangan din, kailangan nila mag-organize. They have to deal with these things and also hold social media platforms to account for this presence of yung platforms or spaces where they can easily be attacked. In other words, while women journalists are becoming good in their profession, does not mean that they are not threatened in any way. And also, yung nakita naman natin ngayon, the government is also trying to create spaces where press freedom is threatened. Nangyari kay Maria Ressa, nangyari sa ABS-CBN, at yung may mga babaeng journalist na kulong, si Francie May Compio, and may nakasuhan ng libel cases and tax evasion cases for forcing Rappler. So, these are, kasi yung reaction ng nito is because they assert themselves. They try to push the limits of democratic spaces in the writings and in their journalism. At saka, maraming mga interests in society, political interests and private interests na apakan. And that is really what journalism is. It should disturb, it should unsettle what is the usual thing, the usual way of doing things na corrupt, incompetent, at saka walang concern sa mga maliliit. So it's the job of journalists, regardless of gender, to point out all the wrongdoings in society. And yet, as women journalists, I said, yung nakikita na kasi, for example, UNESCO has underscored the gender-based violence online. At saka, they made a study, especially dun experience ni Maria Ressa, napaka-virulent, inflammatory, at saka bastos yung lingwahe na inatake sa kanya ng trolls. And yet, all of these were not even dealt with dito sa bansa natin. And many of these attacks are targeting Maria Ressa because of her being a journalist and because her being a woman. So these are the struggles of journalists, just because they practice the profession, just because they do their job as journalists. So I think kailangan din natin bigyan ng attention yan. And I think as what should be the first step, let's organize, let's bond together, let's do something about this and saying this should stop. And just as workplaces are becoming safe places for journalists, I hope so, and it's my wish, online spaces should also be safe places for journalists. Kasi in press freedom would always thrive in conditions of freedom. If you put conditions which would prevent women journalists from practicing the profession or speaking out, you're actually trying to limit the boundaries of the practice of the profession. In other words, sabi natin prior restraint na yon, binabakuran mo na yung kanilang field by which they can practice the profession. So I think what the thing that we should do is let's discuss yung plan of action as women journalists and not to say that, well, okay na kasi kaya ko naman, and after that, kaya ko naman at saka always, yung mental health ko, I could take care of it in a personal level, but that should not remain that way. In the same way that nakikiba kayong kababaihan noon, to assert for the rights, I think we should take inspiration for that only when women come together, organize themselves, can they work out solutions to their problems. So the first is, don't despair, organize. Don't just cry, but go out and organize yourselves as women journalists. Yes, I think there's always value in coming together and in great and changing the world in that way.
Maraming salamat po, Professor Maria Diosa Labiste, sa napakagandang mensahe. Siya po ay mula sa Department of Journalism ng College of Mass Communication ng UP Diliman. Maraming salamat po sa inyong pagbabahagi ng inyong oras at kaalaman sa ating programa.
Thank you so much for this conversation and good luck sa inyo in a way. Maraming salamat din sa solidarity na in-extend din niya sa lahat ng mga babaeng mamahayag at periodista. Have a good day.
Maraming salamat po, Professor Labiste. At para sa atin pong mga kasali, para sa mas maraming kwentuhang may utak at kwentuhang may puso, hindi lang tungkol sa ating university, pati na rin sa iba pang issues, stay connected po sa aming DVUP channels. Maaari nyo kaming hanapin at bisitahin sa facebook.com/DZUP1602AM and syempre sa mga balita and updates po, facebook.com/DZUP balita. Kami po ay nasa Twitter and Instagram din with the same handles, DZUP1602. Muli ako po si JJ Malate at magandang araw po mga kasali.
At ako naman si Ryan Malandog. Hanggang sa susunod na kwentuhang may utak, kwentuhang may puso. Dito lang yan sa UP Atin To, sa DZUP1602, kasali ka.
Kwentuhang may utak.
Kwentuhang may puso.
UP Atin To. Lunes hanggang Biyernes sa DZUP 1602. Kasali ka.